so let's get the apologies first. I want to start with you this morning. So the deputy minister is going to start first. She always insists that no, this entity's report to DOE. So when we meet with subsidiaries of Central Energy Fund, she says no, no. You can't talk to them directly. They must be here through self. So I'm learning the protocol. So Deputy Minister, you can make the opening remarks and then we'll get the presentation from next after that.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Member. Good morning. It's on?
Yes.
You can't hear? And members from the department, from the Department of Energy, from Andrade and Nexa, and yes, Honorable Chairperson, we account to you, the entities account to us. So they account to you through us. And I think you also forgot another aspect, that you cannot meet ESCOM without DPE. That's another protocol that's very important. Otherwise, ESCOM also begins to think that it's a department. Honorable members, today we are dealing with the financial reports of Nexa and Andrade, the two entities that fall under our department. And I think members would have received the presentations already, but maybe just to highlight a few aspects on Nexa. In particular, you'd have seen that they received a squeaky clean audit and even received an award. And I believe this is why Honorable McKay felt it's okay, he can be late today. There really isn't much for him. They've even paid their dues to SARS and are contributing to the fiscal. They've been leading in terms of development of young scientists in the country without any budgetary assistance from ourselves. They've taken this role that we assigned them, and they're doing a fantastic job around that. We have quite an active board and executive, which is in the right direction, but still needs a little bit of assistance in terms of getting the gender balance, but I think they're working on it. At least it's among the targets that they're working on. They do have a few challenges in terms of the work and what they've been assigned to do, which has basically been around research and development. And now in terms of them having a steady income, they actually need to do much more than just the R&D, but also look at products and how they market these ones and ensure that they continue to have a steady income. We had mentioned at the last time that we met that the chairperson of the NCP he has been elected vice chair of the OECD entity, Me Eboka Halala, who has also been instrumental in terms of she's blushing there, but where is here? Can you please acknowledge the members? She's also been very instrumental in terms of growing the market share of MCP and was able to see a gap, and they've expanded around that. Telkom has got some challenges which I think will be outlined, but they are also looking and have designed some strategies in terms of how they address these ones. So that should be around next and our newest baby and Raji will be presenting to the committee for the first time today. I think it will be quite interesting for the members to actually listen to what their mandate is, what the challenges they have met, they had to hit the ground running, and I think they've done quite a commendable job around that. Their financials have been audited in spite of the challenges that they've had, and they've had some issues around staff which they are also addressing. So, honourable members, I believe today's engagement is going to be a very positive one, and I know the members are very keen to engage on the report issues and focus on the annual report. With your permission, Chairperson, I think the chairperson of the NCC would want to do the opening remarks, and then the CEO of NEXA will then do the actual presentation.
Okay. Thanks. Let me thank the deputy minister.
Can I say something I forgot? Sorry.
So it's very helpful to thank you, because then you remember things you forgot.
Yes. In the apologies, I think it was not mentioned. The minister is coming. He was delayed, but he will be joining us, although a bit late. Thank you. He is not refuted.
Okay. So the minister is coming. Thanks very much, Deputy Minister, for those positive opening remarks. Chairperson of NEXA, it's now up to you. And welcome back.
Thank you very much. The microphone is not, is it loud? Can you hear me, or is that
possible? Very loud.
Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning, Deputy Minister, and all the people here in the room. The nuclear landscape is a complex state of affairs, and NEXA is involved in many different things. So I'm going to give an overview here of the situation so that people are able to judge the details. After I've finished, the CEO will give a detailed report of the numbers and analysis and so on. Firstly, I'm proud to say that in the past year, NEXA Group made a profit. We paid 80 million rand in tax to SARS. We came out with a completely clean audit, and we got an award from the Auditor General for the clean audit and the status of our financial affairs. So that's excellent. We have looked towards altering the entire approach of NEXA Group over the past year or so, in view of like the 80 million rand tax, and that is to go for a much more of a business approach, which is what money making in the bottom line is the objective. So we plan to do even better in the future. The international situation is that we are internationally recognized for our quality and our competence. And we are all proud to find regular illustrations of this. We are not only a very good organization, but we are seen by the rest of the world to be so. For example, in the middle of September, the United States Department of Energy gave us an award for being the first country in the world to alter our fuel in our nuclear reactor Safari from bomb-grade level fuel down to below 20%. What had happened was that the international community decided to put a line at 20%. Any country working with enrichments above 20 were felt to be aiming towards nuclear weapons material, so they said we should, all countries should not go beyond 20 if you are looking at peaceful uses. We were running the Safari reactor at that time at 93% enriched uranium, which is well and truly weapons-grade uranium. So our people very hurriedly started to work on redesigning and making alterations to bring the fuel down without altering the performance of the reactor. We succeeded in this and quite frankly were quite surprised to discover we were the first country in the world to achieve this objective, for which we got a US DOE award in September. As it happened, I was in London at the time attending the World Nuclear Association meeting, and this happened to come through 48 hours before I was due to run the communications seminar at the WNA. So I was proudly able to announce this to the world community that we've received the DOE award, for which we got applause. During the WNA proceedings, the Director General announced Project Harmony, which is the WNA's project to try and add 1,000 extra gigawatts of nuclear power to the world by the year 2050. If this is achieved, and all calculations show there's no reason why it shouldn't be, that will represent 25% of the world's supply of electricity will be nuclear that year. The Director General made a particular mention of South Africa's very meritorious efforts to go in this direction, and we seem by others to be quite leaders in the field of going for nuclear power in the way that we're doing it. What we've found in the past year as well, that we're getting numbers of approaches from other countries, from large to small. They're coming to us and talking about international collaborative projects where we develop money-making operations around the world together with them. Some of them are very promising and we're having quite substantial discussions. Others, for example, we get approached by numbers of African countries that are interested in setting up nuclear medicine units in their country. There's a couple of them we're working on now already to see how far we can go. We've also had quite a number of approaches from people looking to build South African pebble bed nuclear reactors in African countries, which are ideally suited for that. Now being, idea being that South African designed and built pebble bed reactors are now built in other African countries. And there's quite substantial discussion going on there, and also internationally we've got interest from other countries much further away than Africa asking to acquire those type of nuclear reactors from us. Now going to the divisions, the NCP division, which is the isotopes division, which is medical isotopes plus industrial isotopes, has been doing very well. In the past year their turnover was 1.3 billion, of which 90% is foreign money that has been earned. and overall they're doing very well. However, they can do better because the market is so great. The world market for this is expanding at a huge rate. There's both the diagnostics line and the therapy line. Diagnostics is still at its primary school level stage, but the therapeutics is a kindergarten level in world terms. We've got a huge head start on most other people, and therefore we can double, triple, and double again our share of the world market and therefore the income. So we are pushing them to have a vision such that we are going to double our output, not talking about 5 or 10% increase. So PelChem, the chemicals division, is the unique market position that they have is that the fluorine-based chemicals are terribly important. The fluorine is a very deadly gas, and it was developed by South Africa in uranium enrichment programs in the past. We're now the only country in the southern hemisphere that can produce those chemicals, and one of only half a dozen in the world can do this. There's a whole lot of spin-off chemicals from that that range from toothpaste through to face cream to all sorts of interesting things that are far removed from uranium enrichment. Currently, PelChem makes approximately 25 chemicals which are exported around the world, and they supply domestic factories as well with critical chemicals that can't be got anywhere else. Currently, PelChem is running at a loss. About half the chemicals they produce make money and the other half don't, and the overall situation is a loss. They came to the board and they asked whether they could take one of two approaches. One would be to drop the 50% that's not making money and make money on the other half, or keep them all. We instructed them to keep them all for now, because if they were to drop half, we can probably never get them back again, and we'll open up that market for competition and also control of certain supply lines into South Africa. So we need now to work towards fixing that. Now, in principle, it's not difficult. What has happened is that a number of the production lines now were laboratory-level production lines that have increased and improved, and they now advanced laboratory level. What we need to do is scrap the laboratory level and replace them with an industrial-sized operation from scratch. So a quantum leap needs to be made from the lab-type production of maybe a couple of hundred kilos a month to 10 times that amount by going to a full industrial operation, for which we need extra finances, and the CEO will address that in his piece. Coming now to the end, there's the whole nuclear new build thing which is on the go all the time, and the whole nuclear new build provides a huge opportunity. Sadly, this is very misunderstood by the public. There's major local industry development that will come out of this. There's things like valves, pumps, all sorts of things that will be done domestically. The image of this will be imported at all. There's also export market for this. So we make things like valves here, which we're already doing now. As I speak, we're developing these. We can start exporting them to others. Already, Nexa has been manufacturing systems and exporting them to Russia, for example, and to Korea and other countries. Since Nexa is the only company in Africa that produces a nuclear certification and a nuclear design and manufacturing certification, which is internationally accepted. We look at something briefly like the fuel. In the past, we made the fuel elements for Kubo, which are 4 meter long metal assemblies. They currently cost 40 million rand each. We don't make them anymore, but the plan is that we will now make them for the new build again, so it's reacquiring this fuel we've had. We also make pebble bed fuel, which is a black ball about the size of a cricket ball with uranium inside. That has been recognized internationally as the best fuel in the world, and we're getting interest for us to export that fuel around the world, which we can do quite rapidly from a technical point of view, legalities and things to look at. So the potential market is good. The future looks good with or without the new world. There's terrific expansion. With the new world, we must take the opportunity to climb into the market and be exporters and manufacturers and not absorbers. And I'll finish there, Chair, the CEO will give you details. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Chair. we'll be focusing on the year that ended the 31st of March 2017. The next Monday, that will remind the committee is research and development, as well as the handling of source materials such as uranium and fluorspar. We have additional responsibilities as per the Nuclear Energy Act, which is the binding legislation that governs what NECSA does. We handle decontamination and decommissioning, the handling of uranium, be it enriched or non-enriched uranium. And of course, we handle international obligations, national and international obligations on behalf of the state. The next two slides. Chair, I apologize for what the slide looks like. However, what we're trying to highlight here is key quantitative information that relates to employees, revenue, and assets. And we are focusing on the 3-year period, 2015, 2016, and 2017. In terms of group employees, there's been an increase, a steady increase, albeit small, of the total number of employees. But what is key and important here is one of our mandates is to transform the organization. From a racial perspective, also gender, is the growth in the number of black people within the entity. We've grown by 100, at least 100, or average 100 for the past year. In terms of group revenue, we've been growing by an amount of 100 million every year, from 1.9 billion in 2014-15, now we are at 2.2 billion in 2016-17. We hope that growth will be achieved in the coming year as well. In terms of total assets, there was a jump of the growth of total assets in the 2015-16 year to 6.1 billion from just over 2 billion. However, we shouldn't rejoice too much about that. This was just the backstopping of the D&D liability of the historical high that is backstopped by National Treasury. So we, because of the issues we had with AG for 2 years, we ended up recognizing this liability and, of course, there's an asset against that the research is this is the top management structure of NECSA. This is a structure that you're not likely to see next time, as to evolving the strategy of NECSA from just focusing on research and development, but also focusing on the commercialization of products that is developed through our R&D. So in order to access the opportunities that avail themselves to commercialize products, we need to change the structure, but the strategy is no longer the same. The strategy under which I'm reporting now is largely based on residual. But in the current financial year, 17, 18, you will see a change, a market change in how we're doing business. But I'm reporting on the year that is there. The highlight around our performance within the year that we're reporting, we've developed the OSCO 4 reactor calculation code to ensure that we can predict the performance not only of our own reactor, but to access opportunities in selling the service to other reactors. This code is being utilized as well as here in South Africa in a patent in the Netherlands. The other highlight I'd like to bring to you is our participation in the Nuclear Medicine Research Infrastructure Project called NuclearRide. This project is funded through the Department of Science and Technology, and it assists us in the commercialization and the development of drugs that will treat rare diseases such as cancer as well as TB. The development of new radiopharmaceuticals, DOCAP, this is done in partnership with the black-owned pharmaceutical company, PGM, where we are doing preclinical tests to ensure that we have better, more and better products introduced into the medical field. We use radiation for various types of things. We've been focusing on the NexoMicro focus, which is the utilization of neutrons to add heating properties in material. We use the Safari reactor to underpin this. This has been growing. You will see applications that we'll be reporting on relating to application in fossil and anthropology to ensure that we do not destroy our heritage, but we understand it. The transformation and the productivity of NEXA is going at pace. Sometimes I feel like we are running to catch ourselves because the democratic groups of South Africa are not reflected in the NEXA opposition. We continually focus on this. Now we let people constitute 70% in the NEXA group. The percentage of technical staff is 59%. This is still not satisfactory, but you cannot grow this unless you are growing the company aggressively. The international safeguarding of disused radioactive sources, we are a contributor to the world. We have services to Cancer Studies Brazil in terms of recovery and the management of these new sources. We do not bring these sources from Brazil to South Africa. We handle them in site and ensure that they're disposed of in their country of origin. We focus in on training young people to be ready to take over as we proceed into the future. We've been training several hundred of young people in China. This has been done in partnership with SNPTC, which is a nuclear entity of China. This is in preparation of the nuclear build program, as well as in the beefing up of our operations, current operations. We're doing this on behalf of the state. This is not just NEXA. We train people coming out of ESCOM, coming out of the Fufa Development Corporation, and other entities within the nuclear space, such as the National Nuclear Regulator. We sell radio pharmaceuticals throughout the world. In particular, the API called molybdenum throughout the world, and we're part of the leadership in terms of that supply. We develop continuously highly skilled artisans and technicians within the NEXA group. And of course, I will show you some numbers as to how many we've developed in the year and that report. I'll go through highlights related to the various entities. entity within the NETSA. I'll start with NTP. The market share of NTP grew due to continuous investment in the infrastructure on the patient side. The NTP Group MD, as Deputy Minister has mentioned, was elected Vice Chair of the OECD High Level Group on mental health, which is a very good achievement. Especially if you look at the fact that South Africa is not a member of OECD. They're not a member, although our leadership is being recognized in terms of this. NTP has successfully completed its ISO 9001 transition audit and received a certification in 2017. Going to Peltier, the chemicals company, the chemicals company, were the sole producer of chemicals in the Southern Hemisphere. Peltier supplied its first lithium hexafluoride. If you remember when I mentioned NTP, I mentioned molybdenum. The core business at the moment of NTP, of the biggest product within the NTP group, is molybdenum. And Peltier is beginning to work in that area as well to produce molybdenum hexafluoride, which has been introduced into the market. As far as performance information is concerned, I will go through each one of our PDOs, and I will dwell on those that are not met, and I hope that the committee chair agrees with me that we should dwell on where there are areas for improvement rather than only where we went to play. The Peltier Group financials have shown a deviation of just over 40 million rand in the negative, so that target was not met. The key reason is that we have aging infrastructure, which requires a lot of investment that we are busy trying to deploy in order to achieve the performance that is required there. The hydrofluoric acid that we produce, supply to Colimpus Steel, to the Peltier refinery, other refineries in the world to produce such things as jet fuel and petrol. It's a critical ingredient, which once we've sorted out our aging issues in terms of the production facility, we should be able to robustly supply and also export this material. We'll be going to the ones that we didn't get covered. As far as the DND is concerned, I paused a little bit there, Chair, because it says target not achieved, but the deviation is 1%. I think it's a mismatch in terms of planning and the actual work that is happening. There's no real issue there in terms of that time. In terms of compliance with safety and health, environment, quality, the reason we didn't meet our target there, there was an accident, a car accident that we could not have done anything about during the period where we were taking radioactive waste from the Fenidama site to Balboa. The corporate financials of NEPSA, as we, there's been a deviation of about 84 million. As we consolidate the world between within the group, we start to pick up the losses that are happening elsewhere in the business. And so the target is not met primarily because of activities such as D&D as well as the consolidation. Staff composition, there's a deflation in terms of technical staff as a percentage of total of about 3.2%. Here we were working very hard to achieve that target, and we still will continue to do so. But of course, the end-to-end plan will always not match up as well as we want. But in any case, this is an area where we are completely focused at Google 25. I'll go through the salient features for the year report. State dependence for operating costs. I'm comparing the nominal and real. The real is the nominal plus inflation. And group sales. Group sales nominal is 7.5%, and the real is 1.3%. Let's focus on the ones that are negative. Company sales. As you would remember, Chair, I mentioned that there was a mismatch in terms of our target, in terms of the sale of hydrofluoric acid, HF, the critical component. There was also other products within the healthcare area that could not meet target. And one of them is sulfuric acid. To produce the sulfuric acid from the fluorine, we need to use a technology that's no longer within regulations in South Africa. We've been working very hard to move out of utilization of CFCs. If you remember, CFCs were is a gas that was used in refrigeration. And we still use CFCs to produce our sulfuric acid from fluorine. And that is not allowed and it's not compliant. And we have been changing technology because our technology that we utilize at present, some of it is rather old. Group sales per capita, the nominal percentage is 9.9%. And of course, when you add inflation, you end up at 2.2%. If in nominal terms, most of our numbers are positive. When you start to add inflation, you start seeing some of the numbers going negative. That is telling us that our sales growth does not match up the inflationary growth in terms of our cost. So unless we fix the aged equipment sitting in our system, we are going backwards. The negative numbers will grow. Because if you're not growing at least at the pace of inflation, you're destroying value. We are focused on this, we understand it, and we know where it comes from. One of the reasons that we have is that we are supposed to keep technology within the NEXA frame because that technology is critical for strategic reasons of the nation. And we need to, our profitability needs to be increasing at a level. I didn't order this out yet. This is really what the salient features are telling. They're saying start to grow at least at the pace of inflation, otherwise you will be destroying value. And the numbers are not huge numbers, the deviation from real and nominal. The average around 2-3%. So we are well on our way here to deal with this problem. Going forward. Uh, we're talking about sustainability, Chair. Chair, we keep game on the first herbicide, and there was a birth during the past year of a young zebra. It's very healthy. There's no truth to the rumor that you get destroyed. In terms of the sustainability care, Chair, on the financials, that's the only negative one. And I've dealt with it in some detail, but maybe I must guide the reading of the pill. In terms of corporate sales, there's been a steady growth. This is the yellow line. In terms of NCP Group net profit, there's been a very scenic path that we've gone through. There was a drop between 2014 and 2015, and then suddenly we started picking up between 2015 and 2016. And that picking up is indicative of the market change. One of the suppliers in the market, the Canadians, who have only been number one compared to NTP, are dropping out of the market, and we're picking up where they left off. What we have to do is become more efficient in applying our resources and equipment to capture more and more of that market. And that upward trend from 2015 shows you where that gap emerged. We are not sluggish, we are just very systematic in achieving that goal. Next one. The manufactured capital indicators, here the group property, plant and equipment, this is the yellow curve, is growing, but this relates to the evaluation. The new valuation of Nexa assets. We went through an extensive exercise with the AG to do a new valuation, and you can see from 2015 it started growing. In terms of intellectual capital indicators, here it's the research publications are blue. Our researchers are very prolific. We started to see the young ones in their mid-20s to mid-30s producing publications in ISI journals. This is the high-impact journals in the industry where seasoned researchers publish. We also disclose our innovations through reports. This is steady because our innovations are not, we don't do an innovation a year. Sometimes some people do one innovation in their lifetime. So it's a steady level that we're keeping, which shows the activity of the people researching. The human capital indicators, this is a confusing slide sometimes because it's got percentages as well as scale numbers or quantum. Percentage of technical staff, this is the green one. The percentage of technical staff to all staff seems to be dropping. But that's because we're building up in areas such as human resource, finance, to make sure that we gear up to the new strategy, Chair. To implement the new strategy, we needed a new marketing function, as an example. We needed a new investment function. We need new activities that are not research and are not technical in the sense of science and engineering. They're technical in terms of other fields. As we do this, you will see the percentage of technical staff seeming to drop, while the total number of employees is growing. And if you look at the blue one, which is the number of my slide. Number of trade tests. Oh, this is the number of people which we train and then we test. Artisans, such as boilermakers, electricians, that we train, we test on a regular basis. You will see, because the intake happens in 1 year and the test happens in another year, you will see a bit of a profile in terms of the testing profile. Social and relationship capital indicators. This is a very interesting slide here, because it shows non-licensed staff as a percentage. For example, the audit. We are reducing the number of non-licensed staff. We are certifying our engineers, our scientists, and everyone who's working in an environment that requires license is getting license. And if everything is at a rate, this is now, if you don't have qualified people, if you have people that are indigent, etc., your disabling injury rate will grow. Now, you will see a spike between 2016 and 2017. This is when we started to focus and said, look, everyone must be licensed properly. We have to re-qualify people as we go along. You can't just qualify somebody once and then leave them. This, the one pair counteracts the other. And we worked very hard with this. Next slide. This would be the Dr. Kemp's team, which is on the board. You will see Dr. Kemp on the far left, and of course the other board members. Some of them the committee knows. This is in terms of meetings of the board, the attendance of this energetic board has been quite good. I haven't had so much good attention in terms of performance at NEXA. I've been on the NEXA board because we have chief executive. The attention this board pays on the activities of NEXA exceeds the two previous boards that have been part of. This is the executive team. We are a bit, as the deputy minister indicated, we are a bit short on ladies. We have two ladies on the executive team. One is the CFO, and the other one happens to be heading user compliance and services. These are two critical areas. Chair, on the human resource area, I was giving statistics and qualitative information, and now these are the numbers. The total staff complement at NEXA Group is 1,912, just short of 2,000. And the distribution, I want to slide for you, Chair. But safe to say, we are focused on those numbers on a daily basis. The disability status, the total number of staff, 1,700 in 2017 and 1,887 in 2016. This is excluding contract work. And the number of disabled staff dropped from 35 to 27. You would wonder why this would happen. Some of our disabled staff were not young, and we've had several retirements between last year, between 2016 and 2017. Can you stay on that slide? Yeah. The current percentage of disabled is 1.6%. We plan to grow this number. This will be targeted recruitment to ensure that disabled people are well represented in our environment. Next slide. In terms of staff development, this is training, study assistance scheme. We had 26 males. We are male dominated in the company, and 39 females. Left, and 3 males and 1 female colored, and 8 males white, and 5 males, females white. In terms of graduate training, in the year under report, we've had very few graduates coming. This is because we absorb them. Sometimes we absorb them very quickly. In terms of interns, we've had only 11 interns. The numbers are, it's just male. In terms of the Auditor General's report, we do not have much to report other than the fact that NEXA Corporate, this is NEXA without its subsidiary, received an unqualified audit. Perstam, the technical company, received an unqualified audit. NTP Radioisotopes received a clean audit, which is an unqualified audit without emphasis on management. We own this report. We have in the NEXA Group a clean audit. We aspire to achieve it for Perstam and for NEXA. If you remember, Chair, that NEXA was threatened not so long ago with a disclaimer. With that memory, you would realize that this is exceptional before. If I have to say so myself. What the next slide is showing us is the balance sheet. Chair, the balance sheet is very critical in terms of showing us the group position. I will not read it for the committee. I will be disclosing it for reasons of disclosure. That all the numbers I was talking about derive and support this comprehensive statement. It's not the most positive, but in the circumstances, it is a critical area that we are focusing on. We know that it must get better, and we undertake that to get better. Now, NTP, summary financial information, total sales of NTP Group, which is not just the NTP radioisotopes, is 1.36 billion, with the net profit of 200 million. This was just under 40 million rand about 5. There's been an increased sales and profit growth, especially in the lithium product. And of course, you do not achieve profit if you don't focus on your cost. There's been a focus on cost savings. And in terms of Perstam revenue, 200 million, and its net loss at 35 million. This could have been worse or could have been better. And I would say it this way. Could have been worse if we had not focused on maintenance as strongly as we are. And on cost savings. Could have been better if we were financed, we had the funding that we required to be able to replace the aged equipment. Now, in terms of future plans, our plans really revolve around one thing or two things. One is the national program. Of looking after the the beneficiation of uranium and calcium chloride prosper. We need to focus there. We are focusing. We're dealing with business cases. We're dealing with plans and training of personnel to ensure that we can beneficiate these two national strategic minerals. We are rationalizing the offering from calcium as a product. We are refurbishing plant. We are also gearing up to utilize Kinderbela, the state-owned pharmaceutical, in terms of deployment. Kinderbela, if you remember, is a subsidiary of Pantheon, which is gearing up to terminate a few times. It is gearing up to activate the dream of the state-owned pharmaceutical company. The new NGP production capacity and business initiatives are being focused on, and I dare say we are beginning to achieve them. And of course, we have demonstrated the uranium recovery process from our uranium boards. And we are doing preclinical and clinical trials at various stages to achieve new products in the market. And we're working very hard to leverage our IP in the business development department and across the group. In conclusion, Chair, we face severe financial constraints, some of them imposed by the environment because we have a sluggish economic growth. The global GDP growth struggles to go above 3.5%, and there's no, I'm not surprised that we're struggling in South Africa as well with our GDP growth. And of course, we would like a bit more support from government. This is not meant to complain. But if we link up and cooperate better, we'll achieve our goals much easier. NETRA must continue to serve all South Africans. It's a national entity, strategic nuclear capacity for the country, for the state. So we give services in radiation protection, life-saving pharmaceutical, international media cooperation, where we maintain the reputation of the state at the highest level. Economic development through technical skills development, localization of media materials and material production, and of course, participation in the database of power. I thank you, Chair.
Energy portfolio as a whole, as a department and
same. So we're quite happy that there's a steady improvement overall in the portfolio until something happened in the department in the last financial year, which is extremely worried about. So you are showing me this, that in the our budget review report last year, we said that the Department of Energy wants to assist NEXA. It was also suggested, but assist NEXA in ensuring that the energy fund can qualify for this support. So, just to make the point that we think we're right in saying that we have seen a consistent improvement in the performance of the portfolio, including the entities. So we do recognize the improvement registered by NEXA. We're quite right. We had had a difficult time with the report of the auditors regarding the performance of the other financial year. So let's go to immediately, so I'm going to try and cut a bit fast. Honorable Farber,
might be a separate process followed for the research reactor, considering the very specific constraints faced by NEXA, as well as the changing market landscape for medical isotopes. For example, Chair, we are aware that a number of countries around the world are wanting a piece of this market and are engaging quite actively in building research reactors in which to compete with South Africa. And that will affect our dominance and affect the long-term sustainability of NEXA. So it's fundamentally important to understand how the changed environment, how NEXA plans to address this changing environment, considering that it is probably one of its key income and revenue streams. So I suppose the question on that, Chair, can NEXA also give us some information on how it anticipates medical isotope market shifting and how it plans to respond? And also specifically, would there be some benefits in a separate tender process, fundamentally considering, although it's been ordered for sure, NEXA's balance sheet probably would struggle to be a procuring agent specifically for a research reactor. Are there any considerations being made for some kind of JV model? If so, with who? If so, in terms of what legislation? If so, when can we expect more information on that in public domain? Chair, Mr. Tulani raises some very pertinent questions, and I mean, I must say that NEXA has definitely stabilized under the chairman's leadership. However, this request that more funding be made available for governments is highly unlikely. It's an incredibly cash-strapped position. So NEXA's requests for additional funding will probably land on very dead ears at the Treasury as they try and sustain and bail out the number of failing entities such as SAA, which should be sold because we should be directing funds towards critical sector entities such as NEXA, not wasting our time on the airline. And also how we resolve the issues around ESCOM. So we can expect very little additional funding to come to NEXA. NEXA's business plan seems to suggest that it's focusing on requiring additional investment to turn itself around. Knowing that that's not going to come from government, that gives me some skepticism about the turnaround strategy or the long-term sustainability of NEXA. And I'm wondering if there are any attempts to consider some kind of participation by private sector in the work. Maybe I'm not sure if that's even a possibility considering the nature of the work. But fundamentally, how is NEXA going to get its funding if it's not from government? Because we can expect that the constrained fiscal environment means that NEXA is not going to get the money that they need to address issues such as helping and updating various of the machinery and stuff that has been highlighted. Chair, we must say that Alchemist is a significant concern for us. And we hear that it's very necessary that Alchemist stay in the full breadth of the current production of chemicals for strategic reasons from South African perspective, and that we can accept. But Chair, we have to recognize there's a significant drain, a significant potential drain of concern issued around Alchemist that were raised by the Auditor General. And subsequently, where is NEXA planning to get this money from to sustain and kind of turn around the Alchemist? Alchemist has the potential to destabilize the group over time. And again, I don't think enough of us have given enough information today around what the long-term plans are for addressing and kind of pulling the Alchemist out of the lake. Chair, I'll leave it at that. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr.
Chairman.
Thank you,
Chair.
Can I
continue
to ask a question,
Chair? No, I never looked at you when I was
okay.
Okay. I'm digesting the different questions from post. Okay. One of the best days.
Thank you, Chair, Honourable Deputy Minister. Unqualified reporters also is always something achieved. And the highlights, if we look at the highlights, radiopharmaceuticals has always been part of nuclear and a very positive part of nuclear. Helen Dava and all over has always done well with that. Looking at the sole producer of fluorochemicals in Southern Hemisphere, I think if I can be mistaken, but South Africa only produced 5% of fluorine, which is, I remember that even toothpaste, fluorine is just an organic compound of that, batteries, a lot of things. The film used in solar panels so we can concentrate more on renewable energy as well. All that comes from fluorine. Hexafluorine is also, I think, one of the four, only one, MO6 is the only one used for commercial properties and that. But carrying on, that achievement is really up to the entire staff component, 1,717, but there was also some contract workers involved, if I'm not mistaken. That's not listed here. Also paid. And then I was just given, just now, we were given a paper by our researchers, the target achieved by relation next to external sales not achieved. The target was to achieve 491.8 million from sales, however, only 407 million was achieved. That's it, that's all for me. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you, my question is around the CEO has mentioned that the way they are reporting now, they are using the old strategy. And in the next financial year, we should expect the new strategy 2017. What I want to find out from the CEO is whether with this new strategy there will be job losses, and whether this new strategy is going to talk on how the entity is going to generate income and everything. I'm asking this question because I saw that part of the technical stuff, there's a graph somewhere in the presentation where it is declining. That's part of the strategy, the new strategy. And then to emphasize to what my colleague has said with regards to limited support available from government, I'm looking at page 36, the nuclear new build program, where there was a cabinet decision taken, and on top of that, the presidency on the vote on the 31st of May 2017. And now, if there was this kind of commitment from government, why now there is this limited support from government? If you can elaborate more on why, whether
I hope you can pay some more attention, you know, for the important, but I hope you can pay some attention on the specific question. There's an overlap between Pablo's question and the 15th and the Honorable Makai or the company's responsibility. That looks like quite a critical question. Then the second would relate to next and the role of the new build program. So, including the issues of support. So, the absence of government support. So, what's the overall strategy? So, if we can answer all the questions, but from here, I just want to see, of course, the important thing about the future sustainability of the whole company. So that's the thing, and the clarity of strategy and how sustainable that is. And this may be, as said Dr. Thomas said, with or without the big problem. So go ahead.
Chair, this mic
is not. Oh, you're
the sitting chair. Okay. Where's the mic?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can everybody hear if I just speak
like
this?
No, it's working.
Is it loud now?
Yes.
I'll just go quite rapidly through general answers to a number of the questions and then ask others of my team to fill in further detail. As they came, the Pelchem losses, at this stage, we have to be aware of it, but it's not something that I think is concerning me too much right now. Because as I indicated, there are about 25 chemicals that we produce there, which are pretty unique in the world, so the competition is minimal. So half of them are making money, but the half of them that are already making money can make a lot more money because they are currently running on outdated machines. It's like trying to take part in a 2017 road race using a 1980s motor car that has been revamped five times. We need to build a new system that's got production in mind. The first systems were provability that then went on to be expanded into production. So there's some figures, I can't, I'll ask other people to do the actual numbers, but for example, we might be producing one ton a month. We know that the market can take 10, but we can't produce 10 yet. We can push it maybe to 2. But if we redo the entire production line, we can go from the 1 to 10 in essentially one job. That's what we have to do next. And it's for that that we need to bring in engineering people that design factory production rather than the scientists that developed it from the laboratory model. That's where we stand now. So we instructed Pelchem to retain all 25 chemicals such that we can address the smaller ones. But also some of them are critical chemicals that go like to Columbus Steel as essential for the manufacture of stainless steel, and without it they'd have to import it. And if they import it and we get out of the market and try and re-enter the market in a year or two, we probably won't ever get back in. So we want to stay there for now. And we have already arrangements going with external companies to look into going to partnerships where they will come in and bring some of this expertise. I'll come back to that in a moment. Concerning the performance bonus issue, from about a year ago, we started to redesign the remuneration system of Nexa to reflect bonus being paid as a result of performance, which means money visible in the bank account. And we've started altering that. We've altered the CEO structure, and we're working on others, and we'll work our way down. Everybody currently gets bonuses. This is not on the same pattern right now. So those people working in nuclear medicine, for example, all get bonuses dependent on their function or the nuclear medicine division. We want now to be able to take an individual who works particularly well, as evidenced by money in the bank, and that person can get a bigger than normal bonus or less, depending on their performance. So there must be both a characteristic there, which hasn't been the case in the past. Bonus has been completely automatic. So that's why we're in a state of changing the structure now to make it more flexible than it was before. As far as the Honourable Makai mentioned the new build status, to give a brief answer on that. Last year, Eskom and Nexa Interactive, the two boards, and we invited Nexa invited Eskom to join us in the procurement because on the books it was that Nexa was 100% procurement agent in the new build. We invited Eskom to join us on a 50-50 basis. Resolutions were exchanged between the two boards over a period of some time, and an agreement was come to that Nexa and Eskom are 50-50 procurement agents. The Nexa is concentrating on the actual nuclear part, and Eskom is related more to the building of the entire power station. That was a cabinet resolution, and it came up from the cabinet that said Nexa will be responsible for the entire fuel cycle from mining to waste disposal. What that effectively meant is everything with the uranium part and the actual fuel, which is the insides of the reactor, the actual reactor itself, is Nexa's area of speciality, whereas the building of a power station has steam turbines and generators and the buildings and all that. Eskom has experience of it, that they've built coal-fired power stations and so on and similar. So that's the partnership. There is a lot of misunderstanding about this, and we need to make that a lot clearer. At the moment, as far as the new build is concerned, after that court action that took place earlier in the year, there was somewhat of a hold place. It was very inaccurately reported in the newspaper, and I asked people to listen to my opinion here, and people, others are welcome to put in their interpretation. I'm not the lawyer. We had 5 intergovernmental agreements, the earliest one dating back to 2005 in the United States. The court set aside those intergovernmental agreements. They were largely friendship agreements. The groundwork was laid out to say we'll collaborate using metric units and not imperial. We use these maintenance procedures, these training procedures, all that's what will be done, so that if we understand all this, we can move to the next stage. That had nothing to do with the procurement side. That was set aside, and it actually made little difference in the sense that we were operating on a friendly basis with these countries, and we just continued operating on the same friendly basis. Nothing has changed in the day-to-day operations, although those are put aside, and it's up to the minister and others to decide exactly what happens with the next legal step in that process, but it hasn't really altered. It did not stop the development of the procurement in the sense that everybody that gets out of bed every morning now and goes to work and works on the new build program, they're still getting out of bed and doing the same thing every day, doing the engineering calculations and so on and so forth. It was aside from the political side of the approach. There was a document called the RFI that went out. It was a request for information. That went out, and initially we were going to send out the RFP, which was a request for proposals. This time last year, we decided to split that and leave the money part out of it until the next round. So we took the first part of the RFP and we called it the RFI. The RFI says, do we agree on how we will approach this? Again, maintenance procedures, training procedures, how we will do all of that. That's what it boiled down to. We were aiming to see if the half dozen potential reactor suppliers would respond to this invitation. So we sent that out and we decided to leave the money until afterwards. And we saw who was interested. We were then saying, okay, now we're asking for money to come in, money quotes. When the RFI went out, it turned out to be the best decision we could have made, but we didn't have that in mind at the time, because the number of reactions we got was 38 instead of the expected 5 or 6. The 38 was everybody in the business of turbines and generators and steam generators and all sorts of non-nuclear parts, fuel fabricators, and that they all put in their applications to be part of the grand team. We had a massive response, much bigger than we bargained for. That all came in just at the time that the court decision came out, so those documents are sealed, but they're all in South Africa. We're now in a position that we can issue the RFP whenever the political authorities say we can issue the RFP. The document is essentially done. We anticipate there will be 2 rounds to it. The first round of the RFP will say, put in your first round bids. Now I emphasize that I'm saying South Africans will build this nuclear reactor.
It is not foreigners who built it. South Africans who built it. South Africans essentially built Kuburg. If you went to Kuburg at the beginning, the people pouring the concrete, laying the foundations, putting in the piping were the South Africans. They weren't foreigners. It was being built to a foreign plan with collaboration at a high level. But the people doing most of the actual day-to-day work were South Africans. And that's what the objective is now. So when the first round of quotations with money comes in, we would look at that for arguments like, say, well, we can handle all the plumbing at our expense, at our South African rates, and therefore the plumbing costs for Auckland and so forth would be so much. If we were to get the plumbing done by a foreign country here, they would have to pay their rates. So at the end of that first round, we would expect to come to a short list of two or three or whatever the case might be. But there's room for negotiation. So now we go to a second round financial decision as to how would you adjust it after we share out the work source. We have a 50% localization target. I'm informed that when we built Kuburg, we had like zero localization target, but 43% was paid anyway, because we would not import concrete and we would not import people to lay piping. It was done anyway. And Kuburg was a very advanced design at the time, one of the leading designs in the world. That reactor was the first reactor in the world built on a movable base, so that with an earthquake, the whole reactor would rock. Kuburg was built to a higher earthquake and a tsunami standard by far than Fukushima was. So we were not operating at the tail end, we were operating at the world leading edge then, which we're changing now as well. So what we're in the position now where the anticipated request for proposals would go out immediately when we do the commission to do so. And technical people would then have a look at what comes in. If I can move on to the research reactor that was referred to. We've renamed that the CPR reactor, which stands for the Commercial Products Reactor. And the reason for that is that the Safari 1 reactor we have now is, in the field in its day, was known as a research reactor. The reason why it's called a research reactor is that you're actually interested in getting at the radiation from multiple angles, so you can put all sorts of different things in there, like metals to test them or biological samples and so on. So it was built without them knowing exactly what you were going to do with it in due course. The new reactor that we're planning to get there, which has been separated from the new build by the cabinet decision, the same cabinet decision that said about the ESCO Nexa collaboration, same a second entry of that cabinet decision was that the new reactor is entirely the responsibility of Nexa. Now, we are world leaders in the field of the nuclear medicine. There's also, by the way, industrial isotopes. You can look for cracks and pipes, you can look for airflow, you can look for agricultural products, there's all sorts of other things. We mentioned the medical, that's only one aspect of the isotope world. We're world leaders for a number of reasons, and one of the reasons we make very good isotopes, but the other one is we can move the material around very efficiently. And people don't understand how we do this. We undertake to inject any human being on the planet in under 56 hours from the time that the material comes out of our reactor. Ours is the only reactor of the sort that runs 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, non-stop, delivering medicine to the world, runs at greater than 100% production, and is recognized as the most effective reactor of its class in the world by everyone that is us. Now, because we're able to do that, we can move the material around faster. So we're aware that when we build the new reactor is not just the reactor in the middle, but we are looking into things like tunnels down which the truck will drive. Because when the material comes into the truck, for example, it's got to be plopped into the truck, check for radiation, check for destination, barcode, seal, there's a whole paperwork trail. You don't just put it in the back of the truck and drive off. It's got to then go rapidly to the airport, to the truck, it's got to go to the airplane on its way to Rio or to Turkey or something like that. So we're looking at the new building will be designed by us, and there'll be tunnels through the building and so on, that the vehicle doesn't have to back in like now. If we go in one end, come through, the barcode will work all the way down, the signals will all come through, and then it will be out, it will be
tracked by satellite and so on as it moves around the world and this type of thing. That's a significant part, not just reactor. So we will design that commercial products reactor together with whoever we get the fundamental reactor design. Again, the same way as a new build it, so to speak. It's what your design is chosen. It will of course make the medical isotopes, but there are many other isotopes as well. There are JV models that we're looking at, because we are seen as a plum catch around the world. There's numbers of countries lining up asking to get shareholdings in our operation into this department. And we're playing hard to get at the moment, saying we're quite happy to talk about this, but on the condition that we don't lose our dominant position, we don't want to get taken over. We're conscious of that. The next point where it was mentioned that more funding from government is not likely, we're very aware of that. I believe we're not looking for more funding. We're proud of the fact that we made a profit this year and we paid tax. Where some of the more funding issue comes in is that the number of jobs that we do, which we are requested to do by government or others, such as certain inspection things, and the CEO put a large on this, for which we do not get paid. We are doing this as a gift, so to speak. And the funds for us doing some of these extra jobs, we just take out of our profit stream from the business lines. That's based on the discussion that's taking place. Can the private sector become involved? Absolutely yes. We're moving towards that. So I said that hopefully might come back to it. We're right now talking to a number of organizations for them to come in and do such things as redesign some of these production lines such that they will form joint ventures with us. We've also indicated that outside companies can very easily be greater than 50% shareholders in certain elements. They can come in and with a proposal, knowing that we've got certain of these like LPM chemicals, for example. There's some of them on the list of 25 that at the back end we know we have them, but the heads of LPM know they can't get around to exploiting those for the next couple of years because they don't work on them back. If somebody from outside comes in and says that they can immediately, if there's a joint venture operation, then we're very amenable to say, okay, we've learned this thing. I think the Deputy Minister said earlier, in the past, there are people around the country and around the world making millions upon millions upon millions from our developments because they were essentially stolen. We didn't have a policy of voluntary relationship with outsiders, so therefore we tended to sit and hang on, and then people walked out the front end of the briefcase for the disks. As a company running our technology, we'd rather they go out with support. And so many strange things happen. Just the interest right now, amusing, is Nexa years ago designed steering motors for spacecraft, and they were world-class motors. That work was stopped. The entire IP was bought by the King of Saudi Arabia. He then tried to make these things and found out they couldn't, and they've now contracted a company in Centurion in South Africa to make the next motors for the human side of America. We have a strange cycle of events. So that must not happen again. So we welcome anybody coming in and talking to us. I think that's enough for now. I've been talking to this CEO and also Dr. McCartney, who just keeps going. So let me ask Dr. McCartney some comments on the HR, the salary issues that's going to be done.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. The money that is in the bank. So they follow any.
that the entities that did not make the money did not get bonuses. Again, I would like also to highlight the fact that none of the work that's been done on IT and innovation in Nexa is high level, that's where high level jobs come from. We are concerned about graduates not getting employed. To stimulate economic activity in an entity like Nexa that has got IT that can actually spin off important commercial entities. That's how you generate employment and quality work for skilled people. So in a sense, I think we need to be thinking more about how do we invest in IT and innovation and commercialization to ensure that we can extend employment of people.
Do the work through the people that you are on the salary.
That's really the answer there. And Chair, you asked yourself, what happened to the trainees that went to China? You made a very big announcement relating to the first 50 that we sent. They happen to have been the first 50, they happen to have been employed already in the industry. So when they came back, they slotted back into their organizations. Many of them were from Nexa, some of them were from ESCO, they were a National Nuclear Regulator employees, they were even Department of Energy employees and Kuha Development Corporation employees, as well as the Sarabatman municipality. They had sent about two of their employees. So they went back to add value where they came from. Then we sent another batch that we trained in manufacturing and project management. Many of those also come from the entities that I think borrowed. And some of them we picked up off the street, about six of them. With an undertaking that Nexa will absorb them if they are successful in their training. Because we don't just want to absorb somebody, we train them. They must be able to do the sort of things that we do. Otherwise, they will be able to do what someone else is doing. So it is a national program, it's not just for Nexa. And there is another batch in China now. The project managers and manufacturers came back. There's another batch that's in China now. I think they're enjoying the Chinese winter. They will come back and they will be reintegrated into the South African economy. There is a plan for every one of those children. Some of them are not so young. And I got into trouble before. I was not so young. But some of them are not children. That's what I'm saying. So they come back and they integrate into the system. I hope that satisfies that question. Now, the question relating to the new strategy and how it's impacting on the number of people because of the lowering of the percentage of technical staff. What really that slide is saying, it's on the sustainability. It's saying that as you gear up to do business development, to do marketing, to do financing differently to the way we're doing, you will be bringing in non-technical people who are not scientists or engineers. And our key performance indicator is percentage of technical people that are science and engineering. To the total. So as you increase the non-science and engineering, you will have a drop of percentage of technical people. That's really what the slide is saying. We are gearing up. We are not there yet. But once we get there, we'll most likely require more technical people to enter the environment than we have. Limited support from government and unions. I don't think it's a critical issue to talk about support from government and unions. I would very much appreciate government supporting their other programs, such as national safeguards, waste management, the management of bulk goods, and more than to inject money into Nexa because the new bills must stand, as far as the Nexa business is concerned, must stand as a business case to this country. It must not be a cost. However, I don't make decisions like that. I have a lot of decisions. But those ones are made by now. I will leave it at you.
No,
don't know, we run late. I don't think we're going to be able to take tea, so I suggest we move on to take presentation, and then Honourable members, you can take tea and come back. Let's continue, also running late. I don't know if you have a comment before the Deputy Minister, just to say, before we have a lot of activity that side, and including between the Deputy Minister and the CEO, just to say, of course the answers relating to the next time we build the commercial reactor, accession reactor, all those are not conclusive now. I think we've got to return to that. We have already had indicated to the minister last week and to the deputy minister that we want to return to this discussion, especially in the light of what is now happening. So we can bring everybody, that's all, everybody in one discussion to discuss this matter. So we can follow through one of our current questions on this particular matter on a different day, as we already agreed in the committee that we have a special day to look at this matter. Deputy Minister.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I will then take it that we are moving to NRADI, and if there are any other issues, then they'll be raised in that meeting. Maybe just to speak to the issue of support, the kind of support that NECTA has wanted from the government is to assist them to obtain concurrence from Treasury, because they want to have a commercial transaction. So it's really that kind. So it's not a request for funding directly. I just thought I should just clarify that point. Are we having a break or continue?
No, we're not having a break. I was told that with your permission, some of the NECTA team members would be leaving.
Yes.
But not everybody, of course.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. All right. We can take over, and in the meantime, we can grab members. We can grab coffee, but please, I'm reluctant to break with you.
Yes.
You want to go, Aramaka?
Yeah.
You're disrupting our meeting.
Don't worry, my colleague.
Well, we are. Oh, yeah. The other doctor. So you'll tell us as soon as you are ready. Thanks very much, and next, and we'll see you in our next discussion on the end. Of what? Of
sleep.
Let's go.